and stuff. And so when I was scheduled to speak, I was like, Kyle, can you cover for me? And Kyle always does such a great job with announcements. He's funny, he's informative, he's clear. So I really appreciate him covering for me today. So thank you. Thank you. You know, so this is the second week of a two-week series called Walking by Faith. And I hope you were able to hear last week's message. But I'm closing the series. I'm closing the short series with this week with another message. And you know, life. I was trying to think, what is life? Life is like a bowl of cherries. Life is, you know, and the one that stuck to my mind was life is a roller coaster, right? Would you agree with that statement? It is, right? Because you have these crazy highs and you're excited for stuff. And then you have these crazy lows, and then you go sideways and, you know, go different ways. I remember the first time I rode a roller coaster, I was just like this the whole time. And it wasn't even like one of those crazy, scary ones. I was just, and I remember just like not wanting to look. But after I got used to it, it's like, yeah, this is so fun. And I feel like life is like that, where you go on these crazy highs and it's like, gosh, God, it couldn't get any better. And then all of a sudden you hit these lows and it's like, oh my gosh, God, get me out of this. Or why am I going through this? Why am I going through the valley of the shadow of death? And just these ups and downs, side to left to right, and just, it's just surprising in the way that things can hit us. And today I'm going to be talking about that. How does the Lord want us to live in faith when we're in those places of the valley? What does that look like, okay? What does that look like? What does God say to us? How does he want us to live by faith when we're going through problems, when we face problems? Now, unfortunately, you guys have heard this. Jesus said this, John 16:33. He says this, John 16, there you go. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you may have trouble. Yay. Jackson thought that was funny. In this world, you're not going to have any problems once you become a Christian. No, in this world, you are going to have problems. You will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Okay, isn't that awesome? The nativity of a young child saying, woohoo, we're going to have problems. That's what's going to happen. Jesus said it to us. That's the truth. That's a promise that we're going to have problems. Now, why would Jesus say that to his disciples? He wanted to prepare them for what's going to happen in life. He wanted to even prepare us to let us know the truth, to pull the sheet off of life and go, you're going to have problems. You're going to have problems in this life. But take heart, I have overcome the world. He wanted his disciples, the early believers, he wants us to know that even in the midst of troubles and problems and bad news and things that surprise us, things that we weren't ready for, he's saying, you can take heart because I have overcome the world. When we walk with Jesus and we keep our eyes on him, we can experience the victory that God has over sin and death and sickness and despair. We can experience that even as we're going through trials, even as we're going through problems. Isn't that awesome? Oh my gosh, God, you've done that for us. You encourage us to take heart, to never lose hope, because he has overcome. Wow, that is such great news. But we can't leave it there at, oh yeah, okay, just take heart. Take heart, Agnes. Take heart. Take heart. Jesus overcame the world. Okay. And then just kind of, so is Jesus saying, don't think about your problems? Don't think about them. Don't act like they really mean anything to you? No, that's not what I believe he's saying. So we're going to go over that today. Because what I want to address is how can we experience problems, earthly problems, as heavenly opportunities? How can we experience earthly problems as heavenly opportunities? Now you're saying to me, okay, now is it just that you're changing the terminology? You're just calling a problem an opportunity now? No, no. And we'll see from God's word that it's not just about, oh, you know, we got to rebrand it. You know, that's a term that we use a lot nowadays, right? Rebrand it and just call it something else. No, it's not just calling something else. It's this actual transformation that's happening within us where we go, this is not a problem anymore. I'm looking at it from heaven's point of view. And from heaven's point of view, there aren't problems. There aren't problems from heaven's point of view. There are opportunities. When God shows us stuff, he's going to say, this is how I'm going to grow you. This is how you're going to learn. This is what it can do to become more and more like Jesus every day. This is not a problem. This is an opportunity. And how do we get to that place of seeing those situations like God sees us? That's the trick. That's the thing that we want to, the shift that we need to make. In that, not getting in the problem, not wallowing in the problem, but how do we make that shift to go from that to, oh God, I see what you're doing. I see what you're doing, and I come into partnership with what you are doing. I come into agreement with what you want to do in my life. You know, the difference between the problem mindset and the opportunity mindset is that the problem mindset, we stay in that place of the problem. So we see this problem in front of us, this financial problem, this relational problem, this thing with our kids, this thing that we're facing with our job, with our career, whatever it is. We look at that, and the problem mindset says, I got to fix this. I got to solve this. I got to do this. I got to do this. Okay, what are some things I can look up on Google and try to figure out how to fix this? And it's about me. It's about what I can do. It's about my resources. It's about me. It's self-centered or earthly perspective that we're trying to fix this problem. With the heavenly mindset, it goes beyond that. It goes beyond that. Yeah, you acknowledge that there's a problem. There's something going on. There's things happening. But then it's like, okay, God, beyond this problem, beyond what's in my face, what are you doing? What are you doing, God? Clue me in to what you are doing. I want to see beyond just what's in front of me. I want to see what you are doing. Otherwise, if we stay in that place, when Jesus was crucified, that's all we would see, Jesus dying on the cross. But we know what happened. There was God was doing stuff beyond just Jesus dying on the cross, that there was this resurrection. There was this life that he appeared to so many people afterwards. Then he ascended, that he sent the Holy Spirit. There's all this stuff. But if we are in the problem mindset, all we see is Jesus dying. We want to get beyond that. What are you doing, God? And then we want to celebrate even before this is taken care of. So we celebrate, we worship, we praise God because we know that he's going to do something beyond it. That's where God wants us to move. Beyond the problem mindset, but to see the opportunities that he's bringing to us. And to see what he is doing, to be clued in to what he's doing. Like the song says, right? You are always working. He's always, a father is always working. But how do we get to that place, right? Look, real quickly, I want to go over Numbers 13 and 14. That was when Moses sent out the spies to Canaan, the promised land, to check it out. So one guy from each of the tribes, he sent, and he goes, okay, go check it out. Check it out, bring back a report. So they go out. The 12 guys go out. They check it out. They come back. This is the report they gave. Hey, this place is awesome. There's a lot of food. It's flowing with milk and honey. Yeah? Oh my gosh, it's so awesome. But 10 guys, they go, yeah, but There's giants living in the land. Like Goliath, okay, the Anakites. There's these giants, literal giants that are living in the land. And so what are we supposed to do with that? So we can't go in there. There's no way. We're going to get crushed. We're going to get destroyed. If we go there, we try to... No, there's no way. So they gave, hey, glowing report about the food, but not so much about the people. So we shouldn't. What does the two, Joshua and Caleb, what do they say? Where is it? Numbers 14, 7 through 9. This is their response. The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. In the New King James Version, it says, they are bread. They are our bread. They are our nourishment to overcome. We will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. You know, both groups, they assessed the situation accurately. Flowing with milk and honey, giants, okay? But the 10, they stayed in that place of there's giants. There's giants in the land. And then they looked at themselves. They looked at it from an earthly perspective. What can we do to overcome those giants? There's nothing. They're big. We're like grasshoppers to them. There's no way. There's no way. So they stayed in that place of looking at that problem and going, let's assess what do we have? How many warriors do we have? Who's the biggest guy? We have? You know, whatever they went through. And they said the assessment, the result, the solution they came is we got to go somewhere else. We got to do something else. But what do Joshua and Caleb, where did they come? Where was their perspective from? It was from God's promise. God's promise that they would inherit that land. So they weren't looking at the giants and going, okay, what can I do? They're looking at the giants and they go, hey, this is what our God says, that we're going to take this land. So God, the immensity of God compared to the giant, oh, they're nothing. They are nothing compared to what God wants to do. And so they said, we got to go in. Come on. Come on, brothers and sisters, let's go. He's telling them, this is what God sees. This is what God has promised. And so why are we afraid? Let's not be afraid. They had that heavenly mindset. Not an earthly one of what they can do, but of what God can do. And that's the mindset that God wants us to have when we go and we face problems, is that when we get hit with those things, what can God do? Those are some of the questions we need to ask. What can we do? And I think that's a part of the thing that God will use is what do you want me to do, God? And what's my responsibility? And, you know, insurance and all these different things that we have available to us, our resources. He doesn't want us to just forget about those things. But when we sit on and we rely only on that without going to our God, that's when we get in trouble. That's when we get in survival mode. That's when we get desperate and we make crazy decisions. Oh, you know what? I got to get 3 jobs. I got to do this stuff. I got to do these things. And sometimes God may call us to do some extra work. But then without going to Him first and getting a directive from Him on what we're supposed to do, we're not living the life He wants us to live. And so that's what He's encouraging us. That's what we can see from the Bible. And I'm not talking about, so some of you may be thinking, okay, well, Ross just talking about like positive thinking. You know, Tony Robbins kind of thing. Hey, you can do it. You know, you can do these things if you just try harder and da da da. No. Because what I'm saying, what I'm encouraging us, what I've been trying to live is what does God say? What is His truth? What are His promises to me, to us? And get into alignment with that. Not trying to do it like Frank Sinatra, I'll do it my way. It's trying to do it. Well, we should have another song. Do it your way. Do it God's way. That's what we want to do. Come into alignment with Him. Okay? Now imagine this. What if, this is kind of a Graham Cook kind of thing. What if God was so good, or God was so for you? What if God was so for you that anything that came into your life, He wanted to use it to better you and to give you a promotion or to reward you, right? What if God was so for you that anything that came into your life, God's like, this is your opportunity. This is your opportunity to get a promotion, to get a reward, to draw closer to me. Come on. What if whenever we face problems that God said, this is training for you to become more like Jesus? What if every single time you went through a problem, God would draw even closer to you because He didn't want you to go through it alone? Those are like some amazing what ifs, but they're true. Every single one of them is true about what God wants to do for us. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13. Actually, as I was practicing this last night, I read it, and then I got the unction. Let's have everybody read these two together, okay? So I want all of us to read Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13. We'll keep it at a nice flow, not too fast, but I want you to read it with me, okay? So Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13. For I know, and read it with me out loud, okay? Not in your heads. Okay. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Okay? Let's read James 1, 2 and 4. 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Can you imagine if we read? Oh, first of all, good job. Good job. You guys did a good job. All right. All right. It's almost like homeschooling. Can you imagine if we read these verses every single day and we really took to heart what it's saying? That God has a plan. God is watching out for us. God has something in store for us to prosper. That He that when we go through trials and we face all these things, that He wants us to persevere so that we will grow more and more mature, not lacking anything. That's what God wants. This is the life that He wants us to live. This is our I don't say directive, but this is what He's encouraging us and trying to fortify kind of the basis of how we make decisions and how we face life's challenges. Now, again, please understand me that I'm not saying that we should forget about problems and then, you know, just kind of live in this la-la land where we don't have any of those thoughts. But it's to move from how can I overcome to what does the Lord want to do through me and how can I come into partnership with Him? So then how do we move from that problem mindset to an opportunity mindset? Okay? You know, since life is full of problems and challenges, what's going to help us to stay connected with God and aware of the opportunities He has for us? And these are a couple things that I found that have been helpful to me. I know that there's probably, I know there's more, and you guys probably have some as well, but these are two that I felt like the Lord wanted me to address today. So there's two anchor points that He has that He wants me to address. First one is His goodness. His goodness. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. We've heard that saying, right? We've heard that. You guys were able to say it back to me, right? You guys have heard it. We've heard it. Do we really believe it? Do we really believe that God is good all the time? And that all the time, God is good? Because if we really believed it, I think our lives would look a little bit differently. If we believe that He is good all the time, God is good. So for me, I'm going, Ross, you need to run that through your mind over and over and over to remind yourself that God is good all the time. No matter what you're going through, He is good. Nahum 1, verse 7. I just got this on my In-N-Out Burger, the little packaging. It said Nahum 1, 7. I was like, hey, all right, that's so cool. The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust Him. Psalm 145, 9. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all He has made. And Romans 8, 28. Oh, I love this one. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. God, we know that in all things, God is working for our good. Now, in all three verses, we're seeing that talking about the goodness of God, talking about He's our refuge and that He cares for His people. He is good to all. He has compassion on us. And in all things, He works for our good. And especially when we look at Romans 8:28, in all things, He works for the good. In light of that verse, really, whatever problems we have, whatever we're facing, God can work out for our good. Doesn't matter what it is. Scripture says in all things, not some things, not most things, not few things, all things. And so if we can take that to heart, saying, God, in this situation, You're going to work out something beautiful in my life. Now, right now, I can't see it. Right now, I can't see it. All I see is this health issue. But you know what? I know. I'm in faith and in trust and in dependence on You, I know that You can work out something beautiful in my life. So God, I'm going to keep my eyes open. I'm going to keep my heart soft before You because I know at some point You're going to bring it. And I don't want to miss it. And I don't want to attribute it to something else. I want to attribute it to You because of what You're doing. You know, a little bit before COVID, I was diagnosed with diabetes. And then about 6 months ago, I've started to have neuropathy in my feet, where it's like numbness and pain and different stuff going on with my feet. And it was a difficult, it's been difficult dealing with the pain and the numbness and all that stuff. But you know, even through that process of going through all this, God has just been opening my eyes to what He's doing. Okay, so another Graham Cook question that I've absorbed and that I've been trying to apply is Graham Cook encourages us when we're going through a season, a tough season, to ask God this question. What is it that you are, What is it that you want to be for me now that you couldn't be for me in the past season? What is it that you want to be for me now that you couldn't be in the past season? And so I asked the Lord that question. What is it that you want to be for me now? Now that I'm going through all this stuff, what is it that you want to be for me? And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, I want you to have a deeper understanding and deeper revelation of what Jehovah Rapha means. God is my healer. And Jehovah Jireh, that I'm your provider. I want you to have a deeper understanding, greater revelation of what that means. So I said, okay, well, I'll take that. I don't know exactly what it means, but I mean, okay, what the implications of all that are, but okay, that's fine. Then I started praying for people, and I'm starting to see more people get healed. And I'm just going, okay, wow, I've prayed for people before, but not, at least from what I could see, with not much success, or what I would call success, not like, oh, their pain is being relieved. Now it's like, oh my gosh, I'm starting to see more people go, wow, I feel better. And I'm just going, oh my gosh. So my initial thoughts and some of my thinking earlier was, well, can I pray for people if I'm suffering from stuff, even though I'm not healed yet? And that was a lie that the enemy tried to plant into my head that actually kind of lived with for a while, because it was like, yeah, no, I'm not going to pray for people because I still have stuff. So it's almost like feeling like a hypocrite. Why am I praying for other people when I still have health issues that I want resolved? And the Lord spoke to me and he said, you pray for who I want you to pray for. Don't worry about where you're at. I'll take care of that. Your assignment is to pray for who I want you to pray for. You're not the healer anyway. I'm the healer. So I'll bring healing to whoever I want healed. And I said, oh, okay. And I had to repent. I'm sorry, God, for all those times that you have prompted me. And I said, nah, because I'm not. And he said, you pray for whoever I want you to pray for. And so, okay. I'm like, okay, I'm just the instrument. I'm just the tool. I'm partnering with you, so let's go do this. And I've seen more and more people are getting healed. And so it's like, wow, God, you are bringing things out of me that I didn't experience in past seasons. You are bringing some things for me to experience and to know and to embrace as a son of God, as a child of God, that I'm able to experience in greater measure. And it's like, wow. Okay, so then you know what happens is when you start praying for people, you know, some of you guys have experienced this. When you start praying for people and people start getting healed, you start looking for people. I started looking for people with crutches and wheelchairs and braces because I'm like, God can do something here in this person. Let's see it happen. And I started getting more and more excited about God working through me. And I'm like, yeah, that's how I want to face problems. When I'm come up with all the challenges in life, I don't want to be beaten down, this in despair. And then, you know, then they say, oh, Christians, you guys should be sharing your faith to other people. How can I share my faith if I'm beaten down and I have no hope in just my own life? Do I want to pass that on to someone else? What kind of message am I sharing with other people if I'm in that place of just problems, 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 no solutions, problems, problems? It's like, no, I want to share with people to tell them, God is your solution. God brings opportunities. God sees you beyond your problem, beyond what you're struggling with, and he wants to help deliver you from those things. He wants to help heal you. That's a message that is so more filled with hope and life than, yeah, no, these are your problems and you gotta face them and you gotta get through them. So I think even that's what the prophetic word does. When you give prophetic words to people, it's like showing them how God sees them. And sometimes you look at the person from an earthly point of view and you see, wow, you need to change a lot of things in your life. But God is saying other stuff about them. He's seeing the gold in them. And that's what we want to do with our issues. We don't want to see just, oh yeah, there's all this stuff I got to deal with. We want to see the gold in that and what God can do. And as we rely and anchor ourselves to his goodness, that just reminds us, God is doing something. God is doing something. God is doing something. He will do something. Keep going. Keep going. Persevere. Persevere. Keep your eyes on Jesus, because he'll lead us out of that. So that's the first one, his goodness. The second one is he gives me, us, peace. He is our peace. You know, another area where I know I struggled with is fear, worry, stress, all those, right? The trinity of earthly living. It's like, man. And God says in his word so many times, don't fear. Do not be anxious. Don't worry. So it's like, okay, God, how do you want us to overcome that? And part of it is you can't live by the flesh to overcome this. I heard this brilliant, brilliant, brilliant pastor, Pastor Barry, said this, June 9th, 2024. And I didn't go back to listen to the message. I wrote it down. I was sitting right there. No, actually, we weren't there. We were at either Twain or Stanford. But I remember I was sitting on this side and writing. I took notes. And Pastor Barry said this in his message. If you want to look it up, it's from Faith to Fear, Overcoming Anxiousness. And it says, he said, anxiousness activates the flesh. Faith engages the spirit. And I remember when he spoke that, I was like, oh, that's good. That's good. Because we don't want to activate, or we don't want to, what did he say? We don't want to activate the flesh. We want to engage with our spirit, with the Holy Spirit. That's the place where we want to be. That's how we start to overcome all this, the anxiousness, the fear, and the worry. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your quest to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God, which transcends all of our understanding. If you need to understand everything, then you won't be able to experience this. Because there's sometimes peace comes and it goes beyond all of our understanding. And that's what guards our hearts and our minds. John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. And so in those verses, through Paul, through Jesus, God is saying, don't be afraid. Don't be anxious. Let the peace of God, which Jesus gave to us, but let the peace of God, which goes beyond all understanding, that sometimes we can't even understand, why do I feel such peace? It's because it's from God. And just let that wash over us. Let his peace wash over us and take away all of that anti-fruit. Take away all that stuff. Even if we can't understand at times, why am I so peaceful in this time? I should be more stressed. Don't engage that. That's the flesh. Don't activate the flesh. God, you got this. You got this. You are good. Like we talked about anchor point one, you are good. And I receive your peace. I want to experience your peace even in the midst of all of this. In what God is showing me is that whenever I feel fear, anxiousness, worry, stress, despair, any of those kind of things, it's like the warning light on your car dashboard. These lights come on. And to me, what I'm learning is that whenever I feel those things, that's not godly. That's not from heaven. Those are things that my flesh is starting to engage with. And so don't stay there. Okay, don't stay in that place. Give it to God. give just my anchor points, his peace and his goodness, and then go, okay, God, what do you want me to do? And let him minister. I let him minister to me and guide me to get through these, whatever, to navigate through whatever it is that I'm going through. But I don't want to operate from that place of stress, of despair, of worry, of fear. I don't want to do that. And so what's something that we can do to help us be anchored or to remind ourselves is to just repeat those two phrases that I've written on there. God is good, and he is my peace. So you go through, so you're walking through life, and all of a sudden, bam, something hits you. And then, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, it's good, okay, whatever. And then what we can do is say to ourselves, but God, he's good, and he is my peace. And I'm sure there's other things you can think of. He's faithful. He is loving. He is merciful. He is good. And let our minds marinate and meditate upon those truths of who he is. And as we keep repeating, sometimes even our feelings won't even, you know, like, I don't feel that way. I don't feel that way. Our feelings are, no, I'm worried. I'm stressed. Just keep repeating it to yourself. God is good. God is good. He is my peace. He's the Prince of Peace. God is good. He is my peace. God is good. He is my peace. And as we keep repeating those things to ourselves, eventually our feelings come into alignment. And it's like, yeah. That's who he is. That's who he is to me. And then we may have to say it several times throughout the day. Like we start feeling worried again. It's like, oh, hey, no. God is good. He is my peace. God is good. He is my peace. And then you wait for the whole soul to come in alignment with who God is and what he's promised us. So those are some things that we can do to just help us. Part of it is renewing of the mind. It's renewing the mind, right? Instead of going this way, I usually stress out. I usually freak out. But it's like, no. God is good, and he is my peace. And we're training ourselves to go, this is the way that God wants me to live. This is how I'm supposed to use. And you could even recite scripture too, if that helps. I'm sure it helps. You can recite scripture too, just, yeah. And so that's how we renew the mind. That's how we start seeing problems as opportunities that God can use to change us, to train us, to make us more into the likeness of Jesus. I want to show this real quick video. It's really quick. It's only 15 seconds, and most of it is in the first half of it, so you got to pay attention, okay? So maybe we'll show it twice because it's only 15 seconds, but it's about this little kid and what he declares. He's talking to God, and what he declares. I remember for the first time I saw this clip, this YouTube short, I was just like, it just captured my heart because I could see myself being like that little child or wanting to be like that little child and professing to the Lord my trust in him. And so if we can show that real quick, maybe we'll show it twice. Thanks, Damon. When I saw that video, I'm like, God, I want to be like that child who just cries out to the Lord, it's okay. It's all right, God. I trust you. I trust you. And I don't know what that little child was going through. Maybe it's a fake. I don't know. But that heart, that childlike faith to go before the Lord and saying, God, it's okay. It's all right. I trust you. Even when it's hard, even when I'm in pain, even when I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, and I don't know what's going to happen, and things are out of my control, it's all right, God, because I trust you. I trust you. And I hope our church can get to that place, same place of saying that to the Lord, of confessing, declaring, and wanting more of the Lord. So, you know, what's so cool is being on staff is that we get to hear a lot of stories. And I want to actually bring Don Jenks back up again, because what he shared on Father's Day was awesome. But he shared some other things in the worship practice and about that situation. And when he first told me the story, I was like, oh my gosh, this is how we see, I'm seeing it in front of my eyes, the renewing of the mind, the changing of what's happening with him. And I was just so blessed and encouraged. So I want Don to share. So Don, if you could share a little bit about that story about, on your way to work, and then you were listening to some of John Bevere's books and how that affected your day.
Yeah, so obviously you guys know my work hasn't been the easiest thing lately, but it's been very cool. It's been a lot of changes happening, and it's been such a neat experience because, you know, maybe 3 weeks ago, we came off the book, The Awe of God, going into the Bait of Satan, and going into work, we're just driving in one day, and there was this meeting, you know, it was supposed to be super negative, just beating us up for everything we've done wrong in this job for the GC because they're so frustrated, you know, with topped it off with a safety issue that happened and then some cleanliness things in the field. And
so maybe if you can explain a little bit about what you do so that people get it if they don't know you.
So I'm a drywall metal stud superintendent. So we do a lot of big projects. This one is a bunch of studios in Burbank. So it's basically 24 floors spread out through, you know, 8 buildings, and then like a 16 sound stages. So it's a really big project. Lots of money, lots of responsibility. And it's just been a rough go. So driving into work, listening to the Bait of Satan. And what was cool was, listen about the spirit of offense and forgiveness. And going into this day, I was like, man, I'm just going to hammer back. I was so frustrated with these guys, ready to explode on them, just giving my mind, and just so frustrated. And then listening to this, it's just like, all right, I took the bait. I'm super offended right now. I'm super bitter at these people from everything that's happened. And I was just so frustrated.
So you were meeting with a client, and yeah. I guess there were issues that were coming up mm-hmm. that the client had against your crew or
yeah
okay mm-hmm. okay so it was going to be a tough meeting, huh?
Yes. It was okay. So got there and I was in a kind of a different mindset because on the way I was just like, I gotta forgive these guys, you know, and myself and my crew and everyone out here, because everyone's in this together. We all messed up, and it's a really hard situation, but I don't want to go in bitter, because listening to this thing, it just means I'm going to just be prideful and, you know, put what I think on the table, and it's going to get us nowhere. So I did, and the meeting was not the best in the world, but it wasn't that bad. We walked away from that thing, and you know, we all kind of shook hands and moved on, and it was funny, because one of the major gripes was, you guys are always after extra money because, you know, you think this is extra work. And what was really funny is later in the day, I'm walking with these guys, and they call me to the building, I'm like, hey, we need you to do this extra work. And I'm thinking in my head, like, is that one of your big complaints? And I'm like, okay, come on. So it was cool, because everything just kind of turned better, you know? The situation's still tough, but with this mindset in here, I'm not gonna prohibit progress on the job, and also for myself. You know, I don't go in there super bitter anymore. Even a week ago, this guy, he lit me up in the parking lot, just screaming at me. And it's just kind of funny, because you think about it, it's like, not even at fault. You just saw one of our guys with the vest. Someone else started at 5, and the mayor called you, and that stinks. But you know, it's like if I say anything, it's going to make it worse. You know, these guys are going to take it out on my guys in the field, and we're just going to go right through the cycle again. So it's nice to go in with a different mindset because it frees you from being constantly angry and annoyed with people and just speaking your own mind and getting in your own way, really. Mm. It really does taint the relationship and block the Holy Spirit's work in your life if you're having that unforgiveness in you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. That is so cool. Thank you. Thanks, Don. And, you know, Don, at the worship practice, Don would share over the years that things that he would go through as a contract. I don't even know the right
contract.
Foreman. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the things that he would have to, you know, that he's leading his crew and trying to, you know, get jobs done quickly and efficiently and all that stuff. And a lot of times as the foreman, he gets, you know, from the client or whatever, he gets the brunt of a lot of the criticism and complaints and stuff. And so to see Don change, and when he shared this last story, testimony, I was like, oh my gosh, wow. To see the God, the Lord working through you, the Holy Spirit moving through you and changing things and your perspective. I remember you said, like, the rest of your day was just, you're able to talk to your crew and different people and, mm-hmm. Just being honest, kind, but yet, yeah, sharing with them, this is some things we need to work on and mm-hmm. shore up. So, anything else you want to encourage our people with?
Yeah, it's just that leap of faith, honestly. It's me getting out of my comfort zone, and it's something he's done for me in the past, too, and he's doing it again. The first time was, to keep a long story short, it was really funny when I was going through a really difficult time before I, when I first landed in Long Beach, started going to the gym, and I met this guy there. And it was funny because, I'm like, man, this guy's super nice. And it was kind of weird. And then we said, working out, you know, and a couple days go by, I'm like, this guy's super nice. This is kind of weird. And then he's like, text me, and he's like, I found out he's a Mormon. I'm like, okay, he's a Mormon, he's super nice. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. And a couple days later, I'm like, whew, okay. And we're texting back and forth, you know, workout plans and whatnot. He's like, I hope you don't mind working out with a big old homo. And I'm like, oh, that's it. Oh. I'm out of here. But I mean, it was cool because I started thinking about it really deep. And at that point in my life, I was like, man, I was drinking heavy and going through a bunch of stuff. And I realized that what I was doing was just as bad. And because I think something of that, God thinks the same thing of me. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of the same thing over again. And what was cool through that is this guy became like a brother to me. We used to go, you know, all over the place, hang out. I used to talk about God all the time with him. Mm-hmm. And by the time we had... like, years later, you know, like, he's like, hey, Don, I got a girlfriend. I'm like, what the heck? You know? So, like, things change like crazy. Yeah. And what God allows you to do when you get out of your own little comfort zone and you take that step, just amazing. It's just, it's hard to always keep that fresh in your brain and not forget. Because that's what Satan does. He comes and steals and destroys and he robs you of... what God does for you. Mm-hmm. And so that was one of the big things I started thinking about again was, you know, how many times he's done something awesome and then I let Satan come in and steal that from me and I forgot.
Yeah.
So I'd like to not forget this time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah. When'd you finish the message? Thanks, Don. You might be up here one day. Okay, so real quick, for this application, thanks again, Don, really appreciate that. For the application, there's two things. First one is go to that economic preparedness meeting, okay? For some of us, it may be like, what is that? And I'm scared. We said it's an economic crisis, and crisis can trigger things and get us, you know, whatever. I want to encourage you to go to that because the Lord may speak to you through that. And even in the midst of things that are kind of like scary, if you go and you're feeling like a little bit those negative feelings, ask the Lord, what is it that you want me to know? What is it that you want me to do? We can talk to him like that, even in the midst of the scary times. and just say, God, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? Because I'm feeling a little bit scared. I'm feeling a little bit out of control. I'm feeling a little bit of this. So, God, how can I, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? Okay? So that's the first thing. Go to that meeting. Secondly, what we can do is if you're in a season where it's just hard season. It's not just one day. It's not just a week or so. It's just the season that I've been in. It's just one thing after another, or it's just one thing or whatever. You can ask the Lord this, the same question that I asked him. What is it that you want to be for me now that you couldn't be for me in the last season? And there's a reason why God shows himself or wants us to know things about him or about a situation in this season versus the last season. So it helps when we understand, what is God doing? What is it that you're doing? What is it that you want to be for me? And I want to embrace that. I want to step into that, okay? And then maybe the Lord will help you break out of that season. Another thing that we can do is, what does this mean and what shall I do? Two questions, really. What does this mean and what shall I do? It says, this was questions that the early followers had asked in Acts 2, verse 12 and verse 37. It says, what does this mean and what shall I do? What do you want me to do? And those are questions that we can ask God anytime. What does this mean? What do you want me to do? Okay? So, what I want us to do is actually during the worship time, to just spend some time with the Lord, asking him. We're going to leave the questions up there. And so whatever it is that you're going through, you can just, let's just interact with the Lord now. You can ask those questions. I'm going to have Damon play some music. And it's going to be short for like maybe 3 minutes. And let's just interact with the Lord and see what he has to say to you through this time, okay? So just, you can sit in your seats, you can come up here if you want, sit in the back, whatever you want to do, but this time is for you to just interact with the Lord. Bring to him the problems that you're facing. What are the things that are here right now? And asking the Lord to help me see, what are you doing? Help me to see beyond just this short-term part. Help me to see beyond that so I can see what you're doing. And I can see what you want me to do. Okay? So let me pray, and then let's go into this time. Thank you, Lord. And worship team, you guys can come on up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, you are so awesome. You are so awesome, God. And we just want to come and interact with you right now as your children, to just be with you in this place. So we lift up these questions to you. We lift up this time to you. Speak, Lord. Speak your words of encouragement and wisdom to us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.